Wo? Geschnallara. So once again, thank you all very much for attending. I also want to especially greet the three new arrivals. There's our Amala Harinam who has come. Hare Krishna, welcome Amala Harinam. Then there was Hari Kirtan and his good wife Vrindavaneshwari. Hari Kirtan wants to be saved, I understand.
Excuse me?
On a chair.
On a chair, yes. Good, good. My dear everyone, we will again do what we do in the midst of our Kirtan sessions. We will have Kirtans and also Krishna Katas. The word Kirtan derives its meaning from the root syllable Kirt, which means a couple of things. One is to glorify and praise, but another is to magnify, to make greater, to make more prominent. So when we speak about Krishna and sing about his holy name, we actually magnify his presence in our life. It's almost as if there's a magnifying glass, no? And what was small is moved close and becomes big to us. So this is the idea of Kirtan, to magnify Krishna, to make him more prominent. And this is done in various ways. Kirtan includes singing and dancing for his pleasure, sometimes with cloth that is waved in the air. It means also to talk and read about Krishna, but listen to this, it means also to take a stamp, a wooden stamp, put it into tilak, and then print his names all over the body. That's a form of kirtan. Another form of kirtan is to write his holy name on a flag and post the flag very high. Then when the wind comes and blows, then the flag is fluttering in the wind and says Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So so many things are kirtan, but we will today just talk about Krishna and sing about Krishna. So we are ready. There's our Kishore Gopal. Is he somewhere? Yes. Would you be so kind to come here? Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare.
Hare Rama.
Krishna, my dear devotees. Every morning in Braj, a sense of sadness spreads through the village. Krishna will soon leave to the forest. However, everything changes in the afternoon when a sense of anticipation moves its auspicious influence into the heart of everyone. Everyone is like, wow, when will Krishna return from the forest? And therefore, in the late afternoon, all the residents of Vrindavan will walk to the edge of Vrindavan. There's a gate, and that borders right to the forest, looking in the direction from where Krishna left in the morning, because it is the same direction through which Krishna will return in that afternoon. All of a sudden, a tremor like means a zittan, moves through the crowd of the assembled Brajavasis. They become agitated because they see there's dust rising in the direction where Krishna is expected, and the sound of the flute is heard. But oh no, it was not Krishna, it was the wind only. The wind had raised the dust, and the wind had blown into the reeds which stood at the banks of the Yamuna and produced a flute-like song. They need to wait some more before Krishna comes. In our Vaishnava tradition, it is this feeling which dominates over the heart of the devotee. When is Krishna coming? Perhaps he's coming in just a little time. And when the time has passed and Krishna has not returned, the devotee is not yet feeling Krishna's in his heart. He thinks perhaps he comes still in a little time. But at one stage the devotee is lamenting, oh, a year has passed and Krishna has not come. Another month has come. Another second has come. why do I maintain my life that is as important as the life of a TV-looking fly? So this, of course, is a new poetic interpretation of an ancient text. Meanwhile, in the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna is there and looks at his cows. They look very robust, strong, because they have eaten grass. Their udders are fat. But you know why they look so happy? Look so robust, so strong. It's because of happiness in the heart. When someone is happy, he looks a little, you know, fatty. But when one is not happy and fasts all the time, because for some reason nowadays in the West one thinks one is beautiful when one is thin. In India, a fat man is good looking, you know, it's a different valuation. So when you are happy, it will show in your eyes, it will show in all the aspects of, it will show in your speech, it will show in your singing, and also you will look a little robust. So the cows looked like that, and Krishna was very happy because Krishna loves the cows. We have a cow-loving God. It is described when Krishna returned after a long time of absence to Vrindavan. Do you know what he did? He bowed down to each single cow and scratched the neck, which is very pleasing for the cows, you know. He loves them so much, and he knew all their names. Krishna gets up. The evening is coming, the late afternoon to be precise, and he says, "Boys, it's time to go home. Take your flutes and horns, make a concert so that the cows also know it's time to go." And then Krishna calls out the names of his cows. For some reason in our movement we like to call out the names, so I will, let us make a little cow kirtan here. Shavali, Pishangi, Durmila, Shushila, come here, we go home now. So in this way all the multitudes of cowherd boys and cows start to move. It's particularly sweet to hear how these devotees, how Krishna moves. When he's in the forest, he is restless and free because the parents don't look, and he walks like a mad elephant, you know, a lot of space for walking. The cowherd boys, they dance, they sing, they laugh, they jump very high, and they feel very ecstatic to be in Krishna. So ecstatic that they stumble across each other and they fall on the ground. But then they stay there and roll on the ground, imitating the cows who take a dust bath. These cowherd boys are really very, very dear to Krishna, and they therefore want to make Krishna laugh. they imitate, for instance, certain scenes, like how Krishna peacefully stands before Mother Yashoda. Yes, Mother. Yes, Mother. Yes, Mother. But has a mindset already on stealing butter, you know. So they play this. Some of the cowherd boys run behind the trees and vines, and they take their dhotis like this and start to look like gopis, throwing their eyes on their glances on Krishna. And Krishna becomes, he doesn't want to see this because he's a boy. He doesn't like to see that fun is made out of him and his relationship to the gopis. Other cowherd boys are quite acrobatic. They walk on their hands while they laugh and speak like brahmanas, the Vedic scriptures. Now others walk on their hands and feet, imitating the cows, and some of them know how to move their ears. Have you seen Madhava with the sika? Madhava knows to raise to make the ear. Have you seen? Very, very impressive. And so the cowherd boys do. I can't. Maybe I should. I can't do. But maybe it's something you want to, the men want to train. You know, others were fighting with each other with sticks and with their arms. Some were throwing the items of the forest, like fruits, on each other. Others said, Krishna, look. And they planted their stick in the ground and then jumped on the top of the stick and balanced. Look, 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 I'm not falling. And others were just dancing and laughing and pleasing Krishna with various kinds of seva. For instance, they brought him water that they had carried in a flask that was made out of one crystal. And so, yes. So Krishna says, good, 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 let us now go home. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that as Krishna and Balaram are standing at the back of the, how to explain, you know, there is this huge, huge herd of cows. It is a few kilometers, if we can at all measure it, huge. And Krishna and Balaram stand at the back of this huge herd of cows, and they look like two captains. One is black. Who's that? Krishna. And the other, silver. Who's that? Balaram. Yes, yes, yes. And it looks as if they are steering the white ship of the cows back to Vrindavan. At that time, as Krishna returns, Mother Earth wants to fulfill her long-standing desire. Krishna is so beautiful that the first reaction which a devotee who has lost his shyness feels is he wants to run and embrace Krishna. He's so sweet, so attractive, and Mother Earth certainly feels these feelings. So what she does is she transforms her body into a very soft powder, soft dust, and when the cows walk over her, these cows raise Mother Earth in form of the dust, and as a dust, the Mother Earth comes down and embraces Krishna's soft body. Krishna's hair becomes powdered. His blackish body becomes powdered. His garland becomes powdered. And immediately one devotee comes forward. He carries a plate which is covered with soft claws, and he offers Krishna a very clean garland, a new garland, because the old is so powdered with dust. But Krishna keeps it because it was made in the morning by Radharani, and he doesn't want to depart from that garland, even if it looks a little shriveled up and dusty. No? And then Krishna, who's covered with this pollen, starts to play his flute. My dear devotees, various great devotees have described Krishna's flute playing. Some have said it is liquid nectar that enters the ear and maddens the heart. That's one description. The effect of Krishna's flute is so much that when Shiva, who's deeply in samadhi, hears how the strains of the flute song pierces the universe, it comes to his ear, he loses his mind. Although he's meditating, he jumps out in his meditation and he dances, and he loses all his, you know, he has a little cloth here around the waist, he loses it, but he doesn't mind to be naked because he is absolutely full of love and continues to dance in ecstasy. Because the flute song of Krishna is so mesmerizing, let us not even try to describe it, because all descriptions fall short. But let us notice, it has a particularly maddening in the sense of overwhelmingly sweet influence on everyone who hears it. Krishna has on his chest a particular jewel. Who knows the name of this jewel? Kostuba. What is the form of this jewel? It looks like a little calf, but it is reddish, and although it is covered with dust, because the Kostuba jewel reacts to Krishna's emotions, and Krishna is so happy because he will return now to Vrindavan village, it shines even more than usual. It is just sometimes Krishna shows certain devotees something through the jewel. The jewel is so much connected with Krishna, it is full of consciousness, in other words, that it can shine and project into the sky an image of the future, or it can even project a scene. Like once it showed Radharani the kirtan of Krishna in the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It's like it is a fully conscious entity which is in tune with Krishna's every desire. So as Krishna plays his flute and comes dancing down the path, covered with dust, and his jewel shines, all the devatas leave their royal assemblies and come and stand left and right on the path to hear some good music from Krishna, and look at Krishna and receive Krishna's blessings. And then Krishna continues to walk, and he looks already very beautiful, but now his glance is just so loving that wherever he looks, the creepers, these are the plants which grow up the trees, start to burst out and blossom. Like Krishna looks there, Krishna looks there, it blossoms up, and so on. So then finally he comes so close that the bridge buses can see him. They have first only heard his flute play. Then they have seen a moving cloud of dust. But finally a wind comes, who is the friend of the devotees, and removes or blows away the cloud of dust, and Krishna's beautiful effulgence, that is like the effulgence of a sapphire, blue sapphire, comes, you know, it comes running from the back and runs into the eyes of the Brajbasis, who are totally mesmerized. They can't blink their eyes, because with each blinking of their eyes they would feel, oh, for this moment we don't see Krishna, so better not blink the eye, and so on. Krishna's darshan cools their eyes, because their eyes are pained with the heat that has come from the pangs of separation from Krishna. Then the wind, who is really the friend of the devotees in Braj, carries the sweet fragrance of Krishna into their nose, and they can smell Krishna's. You know, you may say, but he was out, he was sweating. My dear devotees, that's a material concept. The fragrance of Krishna is sweet even if he sweats the whole day. It smells like lotus with a pinch of camphor and a little anguru on it, you know. So the Brajbasis turn to each other, because they want to make sense of Krishna. There is one song book which devotees in Vrindavan sing the melodies to it. It is called Sangita Madhava. It is a songbook written by Prabodhananda Saraswati, and in one song it describes how the soul feels who sees Krishna for the first time. He says, is this a shower of nectar, or is this a lightning in a blue cloud, or is this the Lord of love or the Lord of dance? Who is it? He's so beautiful that it's very difficult to grasp him and to say, I understand him. It's so the Brajbasis talk like this about Krishna's flute song. They say, can anyone tell us, is this poison? Because it makes us totally inactive. Or is it nectar? I don't know. Is this sound harder than a thunderbolt because it strikes my vital organs? Or is it softer than roses? I don't know. Is this sound hotter than fire or more cooling than the moon? I don't know. Because all I know, when I hear it, I become totally ecstatic. I think we should not say in our language mad means something which is not desirable. In spiritual terminology, it means to lose all other type of thought and only have Krishna and his overwhelming sweetness in the heart. Would you like to become mad like that? Yes, no? I also would love one day. Because I can see that some of you have not drunken from the cup of love, because your face has hardened so much. I can see what happens when we are not feeling affection for Krishna. The light of our eyes get eclipsed and our muscles harden. Yes? I can see what it does with our mind when we don't drink from the cup of Krishna's mercy and love, our mind becomes a pretender. No, it gives one image to the outside, but in the inside it's different. So to become overwhelmed with Krishna's sweetness and his love is very good for us. Some devotees, my dear devotees, faint so much that tears cover their vision and they become motionless. They can't see any longer. Yeah. Krishna comes close. The gopis start looking full of love at Krishna, those who are not on the ground and who have not fainted. And they point at Krishna. And some small boys begin to talk to Krishna like the baby just now. They greet him, but they don't know the language so nice, and they say it and so on. This is what happens when Krishna comes. I would like to sing with you a little bit and try to look at the altar and try to remember what you have heard about Krishna's coming, first the flute song, then his vision, and how we are full of love. No? Same. You have seen photos or paintings of Krishna as a cowherd boy coming like the captain of the huge white ship in the back. You have heard about Krishna's flute. You have heard about the wind removing the dust. All this you should try to remember. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Everything. He had seen how the residents of Vrindavan had waited for Krishna, how they were disappointed when what they thought was the flute song was only the wind moving in the reeds. They had paid close attention when Krishna finally came, and he was just gazing at Krishna, totally mesmerized. So when Krishna saw this devotee, or this new arrival, you need to now, maybe someone can remind our devotees to be silent at this moment. Krishna noticed this one devotee, he abruptly stopped playing his flute. He started to move and then separate himself from the rest of his friends and cows. And finally, he ran as his beautiful hair, like a swarm of bees, tried to catch up with him. It looked like that. And he ran with great agitation towards this newcomer. And the newcomer also started to run, and midway they came together with force, and they embraced themselves. And then Krishna, overwhelmed with emotions, fainted in the arms of this new person. Now immediately his friends and also the beautiful gopis became full of suspicion. Was that a demon who had come in disguise and now put his arms around Krishna to possibly crush him in his embrace? The entire village looked, and the boys became confused. But Balaram knew. No problem. It's fine. It's normal. He took the hand of this boy who was crying because Krishna was there in the dust of Vrindavan, and he wetted the dust with his perspiration and also with his tears, and it began to stick to his body. And Krishna said, Balaram said, that's fine. And he took the hand of the boy and brought it to the chest of Krishna and whispered something in the ear of the boy. And the boy moved with his hand, with his mouth, to one of the ears of Krishna and said what Balaram has told him to say. He said, Krishna. Yes. And when Krishna heard this devotee chanting his name, he woke up. He took the hand of the boy in his own hand, looked into his eyes with tear-filled eyes. His eyes were tear. And his first words were, I missed you so much. Where have you been all this time? I have looked down the path and I was thinking, will he come to me in this life or that life or another life? But you have not even shown any inclination to me. You have not said my name. But now you have said my name. I'm so grateful that you have come. Never leave me. Don't leave here. Stay with me. Enjoy. This is for you. And give my heart pleasure. My dear devotees, let's step back a moment from this katha. The world of Krishna is a world where every step is a dance. The scriptures tell us there is no anxiety, not even a little anxiety. Will I catch my bus or something? No, nothing. In this world of Krishna, there's only joy. There's only love to be found. And when this one boy, his name in this world was Gop Kumar, and his name in the other world is Sarup, when he came, Krishna showed him something which is one of the central themes of Jamashtami. In simple words, from the mouth of Krishna it is, I care for you. I have not forgotten you. Maybe you have forgotten for some times and you still manage to forget, but as far as I'm concerned, I am really waiting for you. Therefore, Krishna is satisfied with the tiniest effort which a devotee undertakes to reach him. And he willfully overlooks the mistakes which happen in the life of his devotee as he moves forward. A soul who turns to Krishna, who comes from this world, makes the Lord so happy that even Anantadev, Baladev, Uddhava and Shri, the goddess of Lakshmi, is not as dear, because Krishna sees that the devotees in this world, all of us, need to sometimes struggle because we have mixed emotions. One type of emotion pulls us left and the other emotion right. One turns us, one set of emotions turn us to just mindless material life, and the others pull us to Krishna. My dear devotees, you've heard now a Krishna katha about the spiritual world. This world exists. It is really there. It is longer there than this world. It will also stay when this world is no longer. And you can reach it by your eagerness. In the 15th chapter of the Gita, there's a beautiful purport where Prabhupada writes, you know, Krishna talks about his world. No sun is needed there to give light, no moon is needed there to give light, no fire, it is self-effulgent. And Prabhupada in the purport says something very important. One should be captivated by this information, and one should desire to go to that spiritual world. Now you may be captivated by the results of the football games, or new arrivals on, I don't know, you know, new wristwatches, you know, which can speak to you or to do things like this. But we should be captivated by this information of the spiritual world. That will make us interested, and from interest comes attention. We will pay more attention to the spiritual world, and from paying attention a desire will develop in the heart. Ooh, I want to go there. Let us sing one last mantra together. Every one of you, please.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, my dear devotees, it is the joy of all of us to now welcome Amala Harinam. Prabhu, as far as I know, it is Amala Harinam's slot, yes. So, please, we will just set up the kirtan and then we will continue. Hare Krishna.